issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're broadcasting live this evening from the campus of Concordia Seminary here in the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus. We're going to be talking about Christians and the news media. Is there an anti-religious bias in the news media, newspapers, television, maybe even the internet, radio? Is there an anti-Christian bias in the news media? Should Christians simply start their own media, just head off to their own Christian ghetto, train their own journalists, and then do their own thing, Christian journalism? All those questions answered tonight on Issues, etc. You can join us as well as we talk with Uwe Simonetto, an international journalist, on that subject. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, even though we are broadcasting live from a remote location this evening, we can still get your email right here where we're at and respond to it in real time. issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Our guest this evening to talk about Christianity in the news media, a regular guest here on the program, Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's an international journalist. He spent 5 years as religious affairs editor for United Press International, and he's also a director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. Uwe, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Great to be here. Good evening.
Uwe, let's just see if we can start with a broad question and narrow it down as we go through the evening. What is the number one problem with religion coverage in the news media today?
Yeah, nobody said it better than Peter Steinfels, the religious affairs editor of the New York Times 10 years ago or even 12 years ago. And he attributed this problem to a multiple of I's: ignorance, indifference, incompetence, ideology, and insufficient resources. And of the three, he felt the most important problem was the first one third of the problem, he said, was ideological hostility to religion. And I believe this still to be the case by and large. We're talking about the major media, not about regional newspapers and radio stations, which are a different problem.
Uwe, you've got a story to tell about, you had a prospect, I think, of speaking once or delivering a paper at a major U.S. university to journalism students. Tell us your story and what's indicative about this story for you.
Yeah, here's what, this is what happened. A major journalism school, in the Midwest, asked me to meet with its honor students in Paris, as a matter of fact, and they were given a trip to Paris, and they specifically wanted to see me. I have a home in France, and so we were supposed to discuss religious issues and other issues concerning France, but if we have a little time later, the French problem is rather symptomatic for all of the religious issues in Europe and actually the world over. Anyway, these kids came over. They're wonderful kids. And I explained to them, well, now here you're in the capital of a nation that used to be called the first daughter of the church, the first nation also to go totally secular, and there's a total turnaround. And this was about 2 years ago, a nation that faces this significant conflict between Christianity and Islam, due to the immigration of Muslims into France and these Muslim ghettos around Paris and Lyon and other major cities. And they listened. They asked very intelligent questions. They were fascinated about. A year later, I inquired what happened. Did they ever write papers about it, which is what they were supposed to do? And they wanted to write papers about it, and the prof who accompanied them told them they were not allowed to write any papers about religious issues. He would automatically F any paper that dealt with religious issues. This is, to me, probably in a nutshell, the problem we're facing with religion and the media in this country, because I think the problem, the real issue is the education of young journalists who enter colleges with an open mind and whose minds then are being closed by liberal arts colleges around the country. And that's been going on since the 1960s.
Is there an anti-religious bias in the news media? And when you answer, is it, if there is it institutional, that is, where they're being taught their craft, or is it the individual journalist? But is there an anti-religious bias in the news media?
There is an anti-religious reservation, or there are reservations against religion as a result of the liberal arts education, also as a result of a general shift in emphasis in the media since the 1960s, when journalists no longer were journalists. You know, what is a journalist? A journalist is a guy, at least my type of journalist, I've been in the trade for 50 years, is a guy with an unquenchable thirst for news and a huge sense of wonderment. This is how it was when we entered the business, and this is no longer the case. You have in the media not necessarily a bias, but this ignorance and an ideological reservation against religion. It is not fashionable. It isn't chic to talk religion. E.J. Dionne, who is with the Washington Post and who is a very important scholar or student of religion and public affairs, religion and the media, said that journalism is essentially an enlightenment profession. This is, by the way, a journalism that has come about since the 1960s. Before that, journalism was just another craft like baking and butchering and cobbling.
Is there, you said, an anti-religious reservation,
right,
due to the education system that they go through today? What about an anti-Christian bias? You've got a minute and a half. An anti-Christian bias in the news media.
Well, those who are professing agnostics and atheists in the media, who might make up about, I think, a third of the media personnel, I mean, it's a guess, would have an anti-Christian bias. The others are just goofy about it. I think that's basically what it is.
Now, you said ignorance at the beginning
of
our conversation.
That's right. It's an ignorance. They don't know what Christianity is. And you notice that as we get deeper into the discussion, you'll see that they have no idea what Christianity is. The fascinating thing is that the people upon whom the Western world, the public of the world, the democratic societies depend for making up their minds and political decisions, and have very little idea about what drives people. And they don't know anything about what Max Weber said in the early 20th century, that actually internalized religious doctrine determines the comportment of communities and individuals.
So with only 30 seconds here, could it be that in many cases what Christians in America perceive to be an anti-Christian bias in the news media is in fact simply journalists, individuals, and the institution operating vis-a-vis Christianity largely out of ignorance?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
Uwe Simonetto is our guest this evening as we talk about Christianity and the news media. We're coming to you live this Sunday. It's February the 12th. We're broadcasting live from the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis from the chapel of St. Timothy and Titus. Uwe is an international journalist. He spent 5 years as religious affairs editor for United Press International. He's director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. I know, like the weather and religion, everybody's got an opinion on the news media, especially Christians. Do you think we're wrong that there is really a sharp anti-Christian, anti-religious bias in the news media? We want to hear from you tonight. 1-800-730-2727. Or do you have an alternate explanation for what you read in the papers, the magazine, see on television, hear on the radio, and read on the internet? 1-800-730-2727 and our in-studio email address. We can get it right here and respond to your questions and your comments with Dr. Uwe Simonetto, issues ETC at KFUO.org. When we come back, do reporters understand the essence of Christianity, namely the gospel? Stay tuned. Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya on the work of LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief has come to our church as a real relief organization and has really supported a lot of projects in our church. An example is relief to our pastors by giving a cow to every pastor, which has been done to all pastors now. And LCMS World Relief has come in to support. Our deaconesses are working with women. It is true that God really sent LCMS World Relief to come to our aid at a real critical time, at a real time of need. The presence of LCMS in our church has been felt almost in every corner of the church by what has been taking place.
To support the work of LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free, 888-930-4438.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Craig Parton, Dr. Gary Habermas, and I invite you to attend the 10th Annual European Summer Study of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. The Academy will be held July the 11th through the 22nd next summer in Strasbourg, France. For more information, check out the What's New section of our website, issuesetc.org, or call our resource line number 1-800-737-0172, and we'll send you a free brochure, 1-800-737-0172. Improve your abilities to defend the faith and teach the truth by attending the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, July the 11th through the 22nd in Strasbourg, France. For more information, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, or issuesetc.org. We hope to see you there. Folks, I was just reading in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch about the continuing unrest and atrocities and persecution in the Sudan. Well, LCMS World Relief is on the front lines providing comfort and hope through several projects there in the Sudan. They're helping provide emergency food for children in the southern part of that country, school books and supplies and grinding mills for Sudanese refugee camps. Those are out in the Darfur region in the western part. And enhancements to St. Paul's Lutheran Medical Center in Khartoum, the capital of Sudan. Now, for more information on how you can help support LCMS World Relief and their relief efforts in the Sudan, look for LCMS World Relief and their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by calling them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, LCMS World Relief. They're concerned with both body and soul, Christ-centered, cross-focused relief efforts. We're talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto tonight, coming to you live from the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. You can join us as we talk about Christians and the news media, Christianity and the news media, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc at kfuo.org. Even though we're broadcasting remote, we can still take your phone calls and your email here in our makeshift studio, I should say. Uwe, you mentioned before the break that you believe that much of the apparent bias in the news media is really primarily the result of ignorance. Let's focus then in on the essence of Christianity. Do journalists, by and large, understand the heart and center of the Christian faith, namely the gospel, the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ on account of his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection for all men? Do they understand that beating heart of the Christian faith?
Well, obviously there are journalists who do understand that, but this is not what comes across in the general media cover of religion. Yes, there are practicing journalists in the media, and especially in the regional media, and you sometimes get it when you listen to major media such as NPR, for example. But by and large, no.
Is there a liberal bias? I mean, that term is loaded, but I think sometimes Christians who critique the news media confuse both a Christian, an anti-Christian bias with a liberal bias. Is there a liberal bias there in the news media, generally speaking?
Well, there is a liberal bias in the general news, in the major media, with the exception, obviously, of journals like the Wall Street Journal. So there is what you might call a liberal bias, although I wouldn't call that a liberal bias. I would rather call it, as Dion did, a sort of enlightenment, in quotation marks, bias. That indeed it is, because it is not, it's not fashionable, because they don't rank themselves with the public. They rank themselves with what they perceive to be fellow intellectuals, and so therefore it isn't chic, it isn't intellectual to be a practicing and confessing Christian.
I think where the perception comes from, Uwe, is that when Christians observe what's going on in the news media, they notice by kind of conspicuous absence of the word liberal, and it gives them their suspicions. Yeah. Whereas in news coverage in print and on radio and television, the term liberal seldom appears, but conservative is bandied about rather easily. A good example, conservative jurist Samuel Alito, those kind of things.
Right.
Whereas you won't hear liberal on the other side of the spectrum.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, well, this is very true, of course.
Why is that?
Well, I do believe it. It all came out of this breakdown of our media culture in the 1960s, when suddenly you had this shift in the liberal arts colleges to, quote, liberalism to secularism. You had this heavy emphasis on causes. The feminist cause, the homosexual cause, all of which developed in the 1960s, and a much less of an emphasis on curiosity. I mean, people did not go, journalists used to wander about with a smile on their face, wondering why something would happen and be so funny and curious, and they like. And suddenly that changed, and actually the forefinger went up, and they became sort of crypto-intellectual prosecutors, always trying to find something wrong with us. And of course, into this worldview, the religious worldview, from their perspective, fit very little. It was a gradual thing, but it became very prominent. Now, of course, that we are in the middle of a global religious crisis, and indeed a conflict of a clash of cultures, meaning a clash of religions, now they have to struggle to catch up, and they can't catch up because they don't understand the first thing about it.
Let's back up again there. So back to the content, and then work our way toward what you just said. You said to me during the break that often the questions that journalists ask when it comes to religion are the penultimate questions,
right,
not primary questions, not first-level questions, especially about what people actually believe and then understand why people do what they do.
It's not just often. It is generally the case. It is generally – there's a study out came out in the year 2000 by the Center for Media and Public Affairs and in Washington, D.C., which stated very clearly that the one question journalists almost never ask is what people believe, hence the gospel, or whatever it is, reincarnation in some cases, in some religions. The actual belief doesn't matter, and yet this is to them. They ask about homosexuality in the church, about pedophilia in the church. They ask all sorts of questions, all the sort of quintessential Methodist question, you know, social action, all that sort of stuff. Is the church doing the right thing? Are they doing good? But what motivates a Christian, or should motivate a Christian, which is the gospel after all, is not a question that's asked because they can't handle it, because they don't know how to ask that question. And then this, which leads to then a dramatic situation where they do not understand human behavior. If you don't understand what somebody believes, then you will never understand human behavior. This is not my insight. Max Weber found that wrote this in 1905, when he attributed and proved, as a matter of fact, that the development of American capitalism was due to one particular Calvinistic doctrine, the doctrine of double predestination. And it's a generally accepted fact, but when I taught classes, even in Protestant, in evangelical schools, I realized that even graduate students had never read Weber. So they didn't even know about that aspect anymore.
I want to come back to that when we get back from our bottom of the hour break and talk about the consequences of not understanding why things, especially on a geopolitical scale, why things are happening fueled by religious beliefs of individuals. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and the news media tonight on Issues Etc., coming to you live from the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Uwe is an international journalist. He spent 5 years as the religion affairs editor for UPI. He is now director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. By the way, you can read an article written by Uwe, it's called The Media's Missed Sense of Vocation, and I want to get to that vocation subject here in just a minute. It's on our website, issuesetc.org. It's under the What's New section. You'll find this article called The Media's Missed Sense of Vocation, issuesetc.org. Your phone calls, your email after this break, 1-800-730-2727 is our call-in number, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We're coming to you live this Sunday. It's February the 12th, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Many Christians today are reading the prophet Ezekiel in a rather odd way. They view this book as a roadmap for the end times, a chronology of what will happen when the nation of Israel is restored and the temple is rebuilt in Jerusalem. Is this what the prophet Ezekiel was really talking about? How can we find Christ in the book of Ezekiel? Our Issues Etc. book of the month for February is a commentary on Ezekiel, the first 20 chapters. It's authored by noted Old Testament scholar Dr. Horace Hummel. Order the Concordia commentary on Ezekiel by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. You can also browse before you buy. Just visit our website, issuesetc.org, and there on the homepage, you'll find the Issues Etc. book of the month for February, the Concordia commentary on Ezekiel, chapters 1 through 20. The book is $42.99 plus shipping and handling.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives. Something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy or a bed, or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
To traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matango Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438. LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. We're broadcasting live here from the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, and we're talking about Christianity and the news media. We're going to go to your phone calls here pretty soon. Issues Etc. is brought to you in part by Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The faculty of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, is offering several continuing education programs for pastors and for lay people across the country this summer. It'll be here before you know it. To find out more about a continuing education opportunity near you, check out our website, issuesetc.org. They're taking these opportunities on the road just for you. You can also call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at area code 260-452-2266, 260-452-2266. Uwe, during the break, you told me a little joke, a very old joke, perhaps even true, that is indicative of what's going on with journalism and Christianity today.
Yes. When I became a cup reporter exactly 50 years ago this year, a wonderful story was bantered about the newsrooms, and it ran like this. In one German one-horse town, they announced the arrival of a string quartet, a rather famous string quartet. And unfortunately, the local paper's music critic was out sick. So the only guy who could go to that concert was the sports writer. And so he went, and he came back with the following story. Four people played against Mozart. Mozart lost. So actually, you know, given the situation given the media coverage of religion today, I think we would be pretty lucky if we had somebody like that sports writer who could at least discern that these four people didn't play too well. But this is that's pretty describes pretty much what's going on.
But the consequences, just address this briefly, yeah, if you would. The consequences are enormous, given the fact that religion, not just Christianity, but especially now Islam, is driving the way many people think and, on a geopolitical scale, act.
Well, it is driving everything at the moment. With the collapse of the phoniest of all religions, namely atheism and communism, or communism wasn't atheist religion, we now know that everything seems to be driven by one form of faith or other, or at least components of religious doctrine play a major part in it, including, of course, terrorism at the moment, this craziness, these crazy demonstrations against them, cartoons, a minor newspaper in Denmark published, and having the whole Islamic world go nuts over it. It drives wars. The civil war in Sri Lanka, for example, is driven by one particular aspect of Hinduism, namely the Shiva cult, Shiva being the destroyer within the Hindu trinity, and Shiva cultists believe that Shiva calls them to participate in the destruction of the universe, so as to for Brahma, the creator, to start the cycle of recreation. All these things go on in India, the same thing. And it is being dismissed. You never see it in any media coverage of any of these events, that very, very firm convictions, religious convictions of leaders, of populations, of individuals are driving these wars, these conflicts, but at the same time also other major events, economics, etc.
When Christian spokespeople are invited for opinion or for discussion or for debate into the major news media, we often see the same cast of characters. We see the Pat Robertsons. We see the Jerry Falwells, and there are a few others that have a little better substance, but it's always the same folks. Why is this?
Well, it is cliché thinking. I mean, the Pat Robertson, Jerry Falwells are clichés in a sense in the minds of reporters of what Protestants are supposed to be. So once you have, there's a sociological phenomenon that clichés serve like beacons in the sea, you know, to ships. It's how you orient yourself on a cliché as a captain of a ship would orient himself on a beacon. And journalism, if it's done badly, is, of course, as sociologists would say, clichégenic. In other words, it is a trade, when badly practiced, that not only produces clichés, but also sticks to clichés, and if they're too idle to go beyond that, then all you're putting across are clichés. And people like Robertson and Falwell lend themselves to it. They know full well what they're doing. I have no doubt that they are taking full advantage of this for their own purposes.
We invite your questions and your comments tonight as we talk with Dr. Uwe Simonetto about Christianity and the news media. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issues@kfuo.org. And for our audience here in our makeshift studio, here is a mic for you to use as well. You can just approach Jeff, and he'll take your name and where you're from, and we'll get your questions and comments in as well. Let's go first to Keith, who calls from Lawrence, Kansas. He listens on KCCV. Keith, thanks for waiting, and welcome.
Yes, I'm so thankful that you're dealing with this very important subject. And I was wanting to share and get some input and encouragement along these lines of starting coalitions for media accountability. And I think that each and every metropolitan area or area where a paper is or news media is, that they should be started locally, you know. And there's a great weakness that these folks have, because they're not committed to the truth or reality. They're, like you've said, they're very ignorant of any side but their own side.
Keith, thank you very much for the call. We'll see what Uwe has to say. Okay, is this the answer? Individual, local, regional coalitions holding the news media accountable on religious issues?
Oh, there's an economic, they can exercise economic pressure. It's one one means of doing it. I think there are other means and better means of doing it. The best way of doing it is to have competent Christians train as secular journalists and then enter the business. And what I'm saying here is very simply, I don't think you asked me, is there a general bias? For example, I'm quite sure that in most publishing houses or most television and radio stations, there is no bias against hiring a competent Christian to the job of reporter or editor or whatever, you know, a media manager. I think that's the way. The problem, and I hope we're going to get into that more in more detail later, the major problem is that Christians are separating themselves from the world, and that include, and the world is now manifest in the media more than anywhere else. And so therefore Christians should not complain too loudly about the alleged bias, because there are not enough Christians in the media. And it is not because they were stopped from being in the media, but because they didn't go into it, because they were on the defensive in the first place and said, well, I'd rather become a plumber, or I'd rather become a corporate executive or something like that than a journalist, even if they might have been very competent. I think that that is the most essential thing we should do, is have Christians enter the media, but competently.
Some Christians would say, look, I understand why it might be a good idea, but that's perhaps too rosy a picture of the journalistic profession. And after all, can Christians do journalism? You're going to get in there, you're going to learn how to do this craft, and you might get your hands dirty. Talk a little bit, with only about a minute here before our break, Uwe, about journalism as a godly calling, as a vocation.
Well, journalism is a godly calling like every other vocation if it's properly exercised. And yes, you have to get your hands dirty. You have to get your hands dirty in politics. You have to get your hands dirty when you repair somebody's lavatory. You get your hands dirty in what we Lutherans call the left-hand kingdom, which is the world. So for God's sake, go into it, sin, do whatever you have to do, get your hands dirty, and engage the world. That is our duty as Christians, engaging the world, not separating ourselves from the world. I think it is a false Christianity if you separate yourself from the world. But that's, of course, very much my sort of Reformation point of view.
Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to be broadcasting live from the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino, California. That's in the Bay Area. Everyone is invited to attend. Our topic that night will be stem cell research, and joining us live there at the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino will be Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute, Jennifer Lall of the Center for Bioethics and Culture, and Dr. William Hurlbut of the President's Council on Bioethics. That's next Sunday from 8 until 10 at the Lutheran Church of Our Savior in Cupertino, California. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the weeks ahead, just go to our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find a list of topics and guests right there at our homepage, issuesetc.org. It's Sunday night, February the 12th. We're coming to you live. Our call-in numbers as we talk about Christianity in the news media, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Mark Schaefer, Coordinator of Continuing Education and Related Events at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the importance of equipping the priesthood of all believers.
It's so important that, the church, we have faithful pastors, but we also have faithful laypersons. The church can't exist without people. And the more that our laypeople understand their role and how they fit in the church, it's good for the church's mission. It's good for the church's service. It's good for the worship life of the church, too.
For more information about the spring retreats at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, including one led by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. John Seleska, visit their website, ctsfw.edu, or call area code 260-452-2204, 260-452-2204.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Issues, Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues, Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues, Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number 1-800-737-0172 or online issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest, an international journalist. He was 5 years religion affairs editor for United Press International and now director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on lay vocation. We're talking about Christianity and the news media. You can join us first via email if you wish, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We get that email right here, just about 5 feet away from where I'm sitting here in the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus, as we do our very first Sunday night remote, leading up to next week's remote down there in the Bay Area. The address again, issuesetc@kfuo.org, or our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Let's go back to the phones. Paul is listening in South Carolina on XM Radio. Paul, thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I agree with your guest speaker was talking about the separation, the Christians are separating from, the media and stuff like that, because I see a lot of it happening. But, also, I see the media also going with, not truth. They're using other words to get around the truth. And it's just kind of hard to, when you listen to the media and stuff like that, and they're not speaking the truth, it's hard to deal with what's right and what's wrong.
Paul, thank you very much. Uwe, I just heard this morning an editorial by the Ombudsman of National Public Radio. Right. And he said one of the things he deals with as a listener advocate is this issue. We want the truth, but people are constantly irritated by what they see as kind of an effort for balance that doesn't end up delivering any objective view of the truth. Do you share Paul's concerns there in South Carolina?
I share his concern very much. I'm not necessarily convinced that it is a deliberate lying that's going on, although this might be. You know, when you're in ideologue, it's very difficult to see the line where lying starts and where it is actually just folly. If we go back to this definition of ideological of ideology as one of the reasons for being for not covering religion properly, then you will see that actually ignorance is the basis. Ideological narrowness might actually be more appropriate a term than lying, simply because these people may not think of themselves as liars. They may not deliberately lie, they just push their own lines. And that brings me back to the very what I said at the very beginning, that journalists, not just in religion, elsewhere too, have often lost this wonderful, almost childlike sense of wonderment that drives me still every day at almost 70. They have the answer, and they've been taught at college to provide answers instead of first asking questions and then delivering the answers. And so therefore, if Paul says they are lying, it is simply that they may not actually have ever asked a question. It never occurred to them to ask a question to which they provided the answers. That's more of the problem. It's a subtle difference, but a very decisive one here, because really what it tells you also is that if you have properly trained journalists who can ask the right questions and are willing to ask the right questions and are willing to dig, then you may actually also get a better religion coverage.
1-800-730-2727. That's our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Let's talk with Ken in Pittsburgh, Kansas, listening on the Internet. Ken, welcome.
Hi, Pastor. I want to say that I enjoy your program very much. This is the first time I've gotten a chance to listen to your weekend show, but I try and stay ahead of things with podcasts, and I've learned quite a bit from Issues, etc. I agree. I think your guest hit the nail right on the head with his opening statement that this all goes back to the education system in this country, that we need people to learn more history to understand where they come from, their why our country has developed the way it is. They need to learn Christian history, which in turn means that they need to understand languages like some Latin and some Greek and some Hebrew, but I don't want to get too far off track here. He also, you asked the question at the opening of the show of, you know, should we develop our own Christian news media and kind of like go off to ourselves? And I also agree with the guest statements that no, we can't do that, that we have to lead by example. We have to get in the middle of things. And I'm hoping that through our church congregations, that we can make a good use of not only the media, but the new technologies that are involving, weblogs, podcasts, that sort of thing, and that we can get the message out, get involved, and by doing so, involve the public and let them see the our side of the story, because I do believe there is a liberal bias and a bias against Christianity in the media. And the only way we're going to change that is to get in, get involved, and to really make use of the new technology. And we've got a new generation coming up that's heavily, deeply involved with that technology.
Ken, thanks very much. Uwe, your thoughts, your general reaction to Ken's thoughts there, but also if you would focus on what's now being called the alternative media, but these other avenues of information that are proliferating, especially on the Internet.
Internet and international publications. Yes, both are very important issues. Let me first get to what he said about congregations. I fully agree with you, but I would like to add something else to your list. Congregations, if they're good, cohesive congregations, surely also recognize the talents of their young. And I think it would be a very, very good idea if a congregational leaders recognized journalistic talent among their youth group, members of their youth group or whatever. Say, look, or pastors too, go become a journalist. We need people like you in the media. So it's not just the technical side. It is also recognizing a talent and encouraging the talented youngster to enter the media and not say, oh, you can dirty your hands. Yes, dirty your hands. There's soap. That's what God invented soap for, to wash your hands. So, I mean, you know, just do that. And water. As to the Christian media, I would not dismiss Christian media because there are very important Christian publications out there. And we have them in our denomination, Lutheran Witness and others. We have, you have Christianity Today. You have some very good Catholic publications. But they can only supplement the major secular media. We're talking about the secular media. We're talking about the bread and butter media that cover the world and should cover the world, and cover the world, not just their local towns or this country. I mean, it's another gripe I have about American media, who totally dismiss the rest of the world and think it doesn't happen. And then suddenly are terribly surprised if you have these yo-yos jumping about in front of their cameras protesting against Danish cartoons. But that's another issue.
Well, we'll take that. We'll take that one up in the next hour. Because yes. I look like you're loaded for bear for the.
Oh yeah, I can froth at my mouth. I mean, you won't even get any words out of me.
Well, believe me, folks, Uwe is only getting started tonight. We are coming to you live this Sunday night. It's February the 12th. We will continue to respond to your phone calls and your email in the next hour, and I promise we will not let Uwe cool off before that next hour begins. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. We will be giving away a book. It's called Pop Goes Religion by Terry Mattingly of Scripps Howard News Service to the listeners with the best questions and comments in the next hour. 1-800-730-2727. Or feel free to email us right here in our makeshift studio on the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis at the Chapel of St. Timothy and Titus, where we're coming to you live. issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, you can only listen to the next hour on the internet. Our website, issuesetc.org. Go there, click listen online, and you'll be able to hear the next hour as we continue our conversation on Christianity and the news media. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Uwe Simonetto is our guest. He's an international journalist, 5 years as religion affairs editor for UPI and director of the Concordia Center for Faith and Journalism and the Concordia Seminary Institute on Lay Vocation. I think that's kind of the theme here, that if Christians are afraid to get their hands dirty in this godly vocation of truth-telling and telling true stories that journalism is, how can we complain about what we're reading or hearing or watching on television? Christians know the truth as well as anyone else. In fact, we have the foundation for the truth. And if we do believe that all truth is God's truth, we should not fear what we read or being a part of it, being part of that truth-telling as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. Thanks for listening.
Todd Wilkin, weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.